singing, and we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 1 this morning here in just a few minutes. Before we get start preaching, Brother Steve's going to come and sing a special for us.
I've done this a few times here, so you can all join in with me if you'd like.
The Lord is good. His mercies are endless. The Lord is good. His love has no end. The Lord is good. Come taste His forgiveness. Oh, come with me. Oh, come and see. The Lord is good. He is high and holy, and the Lord of glory. Yet He will receive all who repent and call on His name. Come as you are. You won't be rejected. Come as you are. With all of your sin, fall at His feet and taste of His mercy. Oh, come with me. Oh, come and see. The Lord is good. He is high and holy, and the Lord of glory. Yet He will receive all who repent and call on His name. The Lord is good. His mercies are endless. The Lord is good. His love has no end. The Lord is good. Come taste His forgiveness. Oh, come with me. Oh, come and see. The Lord is good.
Appreciate that. I just sing that. It never gets old. I love to hear it. And it's a great song. I really appreciate you singing. Appreciate that song, Anna, you sang. And just come before His presence with singing. And we're going to just preach on the thought here. I've been reading through the book of Jeremiah the past few days and really have enjoyed studying the book of Jeremiah, and going to preach out of it this morning. But I just want to give you a thought. God always has more. And live for the more. And let's read here in Jeremiah. Let's read here verses 1 through 10. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word if you're able. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1, it says, the words of Jeremiah the son of Hilkiah of the priests that were in Anathoth, the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. the Lord saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. You can be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, I thank you once more for the opportunity to preach your word. And God, I ask for your help and your enabling today. God, I ask for the Holy Spirit's power. And God, I pray that your word will be magnified today. And pray you'll burn truth in the hearts of your people here this morning, Lord. I thank you for the truths you've given us in this passage of Scripture. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You look at the background, you see just the big groups of people. And everywhere I go, I see people. And you just get a burden for people. There's so many people out there, and they all have a soul, and they're all going somewhere, And God wants them all to go to heaven, but he wants us to tell them, and he wants us to give them the good news. But you watch people, and you watch crowds, and crowds are interesting. They really are. I got a call from Brother Jan. He's in Honduras right now. He got down there yesterday, and I had somebody call me, a couple guys on our team, and they're like, Brother Jan, I don't think we're going to be able to go. I just tested positive for COVID. And I'm like, well, no, you're not going to be able to go. And so that's going to be a couple people short on our team. We've had like 32, now we'll be down to 30. But the Lord, things like this happen, the Lord knows. And it'll be okay. But I told Brother Jan, and we're expecting a big crowd. He said, oh, boy. And you got to have people to do crowd control. But we've got Priscilla, and she can do the work of 10 people, right? So we're going to be just fine. So he was just texting me a minute ago. He said, I'm gonna find some people to help us in San Pedro Sula. He said he's preaching at a church down there this morning. He's gonna try to recruit some people. But I said, hey, it sounds good to me. He says, I don't know if anybody will say yes, but we'll but a crowd is interesting, and once a crowd starts in one way, a lot of it's just people follow the crowd. It really does. Whatever the crowd does, and you got to kind of control the crowd. But history is filled with stories of masses of people who went with the flow of society. And some of these were done under leadership of some good leaders, some done under the leadership of bad leaders. And I want you to see in this text that God has always created people to follow a different path. He always has. Dare to be different. Dare to be different. Don't follow the norms of society. Okay, you don't have to. You can be different. You can follow God's plan. You can, and God will enable you to do it. God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. God's way is always perfect. God's way is always best. I heard a preacher say this one time, and it always stuck with me. God's more is always best. The world's more is always less. And for your life, you'll always be tempted to follow the more of the world. The temptations of society, the lure, and the attractiveness that the devil will throw in your path, and all these things. But God's more is always best, and the world's more is always less. And so every person in this room today needs to understand that God has made you for a purpose. He made you to be different. He desires that you walk in his path. He desires that you will develop the mind of Christ and as we're preaching about in our VBS, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there's nothing more joyful to a pastor's heart to see people be transformed by the word of God and their lives change and their choices they make as a result of that. And there's nothing more heartaching nor heartbreaking than to see that not happen. But don't settle for mediocrity. Don't be dictated by the rules of society. Don't be dictated by the norms of culture. Strive to be like him. Strive to be like Christ and live the abundant life that God has promised you. He has an abundant life for you. And Jeremiah was likely a teenager when God came to him in Jeremiah chapter 1. And God told Jeremiah, he says, hey, I've got great plans for you. Jeremiah, I've got something more for you in your life. And Jeremiah was, he was going along with his life. He lived in a time of just this was a time of history where He had witnessed what happened to northern Israel. Israel's divided, it's a divided kingdom at this point. The northern part was Israel, the southern part was Judah, and Judah is where Jeremiah lived. He lived in Judah, Jerusalem, that area. Isaiah was a prophet before Jeremiah. He prophesied against the wickedness of Israel. Israel had failed. Israel was under the judgment of God. It went under captivity by the Assyrians. Now, in Jeremiah's time, he knows it's getting ready to happen, and there's going to be three different invasions. He lives under several wicked kings in his lifetime in Judah, but there's getting ready to be an invasion of Babylon. They're going to come in three waves, and they're going to completely annihilate. They're going to destroy Judah. They're going to dismantle Jerusalem. They're going to tear down the temple. It's going to be a very, very hard time. And so, but Jeremiah, that's the time that he is living. And God wanted his people to know that he has a calling on their life. He wants you to know he has a calling upon your life. And he wanted his people to awaken to righteousness. And when the nation of Israel, they largely ignored these calls to repentance, and they were satisfied with the status quo of what was going on, of idolatry and bondage. And God was seeking a man that would realize that God had so much more in plan for his life. And this morning, I want you to think about that. What is it that God wants with your life? What more does God have for your life? What more does he have to offer? What is his purpose? What is his cause? And I love, you know, one of probably the most famous verses in Jeremiah is in Jeremiah 29:11. And the Bible says this. It says, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search with me with all your heart." God says, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for your life. And it's so much more than anything you can ever come up with. My plan is more. I've got more in store for you, and will you trust me with the plan? That's what God is preaching. Let's learn from Jeremiah's life today. Let's learn that God is a God of more, and the attractions of society are always end up being less, but God's more is always best. And that's what we must pursue after. That's what God wants for us to have. And so when we think about God's more gives purpose. God is his calling us to more than the culture around us. Don't be influenced by the culture. Don't just go with the flow. Don't just go with the crowd. Don't just go and you don't have this routine. Just fall in a routine of just making a living and neglect the greater purpose that God has called upon your life. God has so much more. And God wants you to be, he wants you to be different. He's got a determined purpose for your life. And there was a recent poll that there was 84% of non-Christian young people that were polled, and they said, and they asked these non-Christians, they said, "Hey, do you have a Christian friend?" And of those non-Christian young people, 84% of them said, "Yes, I have a friend that is a Christian." And then of the same group of these non-Christian young people, they asked them, how many of you have a Christian friend who has a lifestyle that is different and causes you to have any interest at all in Christianity? And the number was only 15%. Only 15% of these non-Christian young people, it's only 15% say, "I know a Christian, I have a Christian friend that lives in a way that the world sees as different." And so that is so many are settling for second best, and God wants us to live above the dictates of society. He wants us to live for the more. Live for the more. God has a purpose. His more gives purpose. And he has a plan and a purpose for every person here today. It's a determined purpose. Let's look here in verse number 5. The Bible says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." That's I love that verse. I tell you, God had a purpose and plan for Jeremiah in his mother's womb. we were going to sing that song, "God Made Me, God Made Me, and God Made You." And God has a purpose for all of us. And when you make something, you make it for a purpose. My kids have been going to vacation Bible schools all summer, and every vacation Bible school has crafts, and my kids bring home all these crafts that they've made. And when you go to craft time, kids, you know, you go for... there's an end in mind. You know, you have a purpose. You have a plan for that craft that you're trying to make. And so you make it for a purpose. God made you for a purpose. And so I want you to see this purpose. How do we find this purpose? This purpose is found in sanctification. It says, "I before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee." Now, what's that word sanctify mean? God, that means God set Jeremiah apart. He sanctified Jeremiah. He set him apart for a purpose. Now, many people will miss out on God's purpose in their life because they miss out on this sanctification issue. They miss out on the part of being set apart unto God, even in his mother's womb. This is a very strong biblical passage in why we believe that life begins at conception. And we are against abortion. And so you say, well, you're getting political. No, I'm not being political. I'm being biblical. There's a difference. And God, Jesus has a plan. He chose you. And if we look over in the book of John, John chapter 15 and verse number 16, it says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." And so God has a purpose, and he has chosen you. He has chosen you. He has a purpose for your life, and that purpose is to bear fruit. He wants us to be fruitful. And that is, God's more gives purpose. And so that's one of the purposes, to bear fruit. And this was a different purpose. He had something different for Jeremiah. And God has something different for you in your life. And look here, Jeremiah's father, if you look in the first few verses, we see his father was a priest. His name was Hilkiah. And he was from Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. You know, it would have been normal for Jeremiah just to kind of follow the roles of his father and go into the priestly line of duty. That would have been probably typical. But God's plan for Jeremiah was not to be a priest. God's plan for Jeremiah was to be a prophet. And there's a big difference. And he wanted him to be a prophet. And the priest, he cared for the temple, but the prophet that preached to the people. And Jeremiah had a specific calling. And every single person in this room has a specific calling upon your life. You say, well, I'm not a prophet. I'm not going to be a preacher. You still have a very specific calling in your life. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 22, the Bible says, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant." You are called to be a servant to the Lord with your life. That is your purpose. That is God's plan, is to serve God with your life and to yield to God and to please God and to glorify God and to be a reflection of God in your life. And so if you're not called to serve your own interest or the interest of the culture, if you're a teacher, you're a servant of God. If you are in healthcare, you're ultimately a servant of God. That's God's plan for your life. It does not matter what, whatever it is that you do, that is your platform to be a servant of the Lord and to love the Lord your God. And we love to see people surrender to ministry. I love to see people surrender to preach. That's a wonderful thing. It's exciting. It's exciting to me to see that and to people to get a burden for needs in the church and to go into ministry. But if God leads you to a secular field and that's what he wants you to do, let me tell you something. You are no less a servant of God. God wants you to use that. We're all servants. We all have a specific calling. We all need to be faithful to the things of God. We all need to be sanctified and set apart for the service of God. That is God's plan, and that is God's purpose. And God always has so much more. Don't settle for anything less. There's always more. And God's more gives purpose. Don't settle for the status quo. Don't settle for the mundane. To find more, you must follow God. You must submit to his plan. You must have a desire to be sanctified, to be set apart to the things of God. Have a desire to live for the more. To live for the more. The world won't understand that. Many of you would have heard of a man named Jim Elliot, one of my heroes. He was one of the men that went down to Ecuador and gave his life trying to reach the Uca Indians. And one of the men that went with him was Ed McCullough. And probably you may have never heard of him, but Ed McCullough was really a college friend of Jim Elliot. And he went to Wheaton. And he was a very gifted athlete. He was very athletic. And he was a very gifted speaker. It said in McCullough, he won awards for his speaking ability and speaking contests and speech contests and things of the sort. And Ed McCullough, he got accepted into law school. And he went on, and he would have been a lawyer, but God began to burden his heart for missions. And so he began, and he surrendered to missions. And instead of going to be a lawyer, he went with Jim Elliot to the mission field. And, you know, they went down there, and they tried to make contact with the Yukons, and they gave them gifts and things like that. And they finally were able to make contact, and they went to a beachhead, and nobody heard from them several days. And when somebody went in to look for them, discovered that the Yukons had speared them to death and threw them in the river and killed all of them. They're all martyrs. And, you know, people would say, well, what a waste. What a waste, you know. But you know what happened later on is that the wives of these men, they went back, and they didn't give up on the mission. And the wives of these men, they went to these people. And if you read the follow-up story, too, Through the Gates of Splinter, it's called the Duma story. I like it as much as The Gates of Splinter, because Duma came out, and she got to be friends with the wives of these men, and she got born again, and they were able to eventually go in and reach the men with the gospel. The very men that killed their husband, they were able to reach them with the gospel. And hundreds and thousands of people got saved. You know, he lived his life for the more. Okay? And that made an eternal difference. There's a lot of people that are not going to be in hell for eternity because of the sacrifices this man, he gave his life. He gave his life for the more. He lived for a greater purpose. He wasn't just about being a lawyer and making money and having a nice house. He lived his life for the more. Live your life for the more. And God's more gives purpose. And it's a separated purpose. And it's found in that sanctification. God wants us to be set apart. He doesn't want us to just blend in. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. Be the salt. Be the light. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And you cannot serve both God and mammon. You can't. And that's the problem. We want to have one foot in the world and one foot in the things of God. And we want to put our foot and stand on this foot on Sunday when we're in church. But out throughout the week, we want to stand out here in the world. And that does not work. You cannot do both. You've got to live for the more. You got to live with purpose. You'll read of many celebrities that had the gift of voice. And many of these celebrities, they go on to be very famous. But a lot of them, they'll start singing. They'll get their start in church and singing in church and singing hymns and, you know, things like that, like a lot of our young people do. One particular person that comes to my mind is Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston had a tremendous voice. And she got her start singing in church. But instead of living for the Lord, she pursued the things of the world, and she went for the more that the world could give her, and the world gave her everything the world could possibly give. I mean, she was very famous. The world gave her fame. The world gave her fortune. There was nothing that money, she could buy anything money could buy. She had everything. She had popularity. She was probably one of the most popular singers in the 90s and even up into around past this turn of the century. But that did not give her anything. It did not give her purpose. I mean, she ended her life in a life of depression and turmoil. And it said the last song she ever sang was Jesus Loves Me. And she ended up dying. She drowned to death. She overdosed on cocaine and benzodiazepines and barbiturates. And she overdosed and drowned in her own bathtub. The more of this world is always less, but God's more is always best. Live for the more. Live for the more. Don't go for the more of this world. Go for the more that God can give, and God's more will give you purpose. We must be careful as parents what we teach encourage our children. There's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with hobbies. Nothing wrong with having a good education. Nothing wrong with money. But when we promote those things as more important than the things of God, we have misled our children. We have misled them away from God's best for their life. And what really matters is they serve the Lord and they please Him. That's what matters. And that's what matters in your life. And that's what matters in my life. Our purpose is not to win the opinions of society and to blend in with the culture. Jeremiah, he grew up in a society where there was a wicked king, Manasseh, and they had these, they called them groves of idols that people would go and do all kinds of debaucheries, and it was a rebellious society. And Jeremiah would preach, and for a little while, the first few years, there was some There was a little bit of lip service, some response to some of his preaching, but Jeremiah saw through that. He saw that it was superficial, and he recognized this, and he knew that it would not last. And God, does not want our lip service. God just doesn't want us putting on a happy face on Sunday. He doesn't want our lip service. He wants true repentance. He wants us to turn with our whole hearts. What did he say in Jeremiah 29:11 down here? In verse 13, he says, "And ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, and we shall search for me with all your heart." That's repentance. When you turn your whole heart, you turn your whole heart to God, and that's what God wants. And there was a story of a little boy. I've used this illustration before. He was acting up, and his mom told him to sit down in the chair and stop acting up, and he kept trying to get up. And his mom says, "No, you got to sit down." And he just defiantly looked at her, and he says, I'm sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm standing up." And that's the way many people are like that today. They're sitting down on the outside. On the inside, they're standing up, give lip service, an outward appearance, but on the inside, their heart is far from God. Far from God. Live for the more. God's more gives purpose, and this purpose is found through sanctification and being set apart to the things of God. And then, secondly, I want you to see that God's more brings enabling. A lot of people don't follow for God's more because they just don't see themselves as being able to. They see themselves as being inadequate. And, hey, I get it. I feel that all the time. Believe me, I do. All right? I feel very inadequate. I have to beg God. I get on my face and say, "God, I cannot do this anymore. You got to help me." And you know what God does? He helps me. And he gives me grace. He does. He gives me grace. But see, Jeremiah's response, he says in verse number 6, he says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. And thou shalt go over all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." I tell you what, that is what you want in your life. You want God's enabling on your life. And that's not what the vast majority, the crowds of society, that's not what they're after. What is society after? What does society try to instill in you? Society tries to tell you that the goal is for you to be self-sufficient. That's what everybody wants, right? I want to get self-sufficient. I'm going to make enough money where I don't have to worry about anything. I want to make enough money where I can go out to eat whenever I want. I want to make enough money where I can take those vacations that everybody else will be jealous of. I can take those vacations whenever I want, and my kids can wear the clothes however they want. And when I get to be a certain age, I don't have to worry about working anymore. I just want to be self-sufficient. That is not the goal in your life, all right? The normal, that's the way most people think, but God wants more than that for you in your life, all right? God wants more. He does not want you to be self-sufficient, but he wants you to be God-sufficient. When you get to a place in your life where you just can't go on another day without the grace of God on your life, that's where you need to be, and that's the abundant life. That when you're living on grace, you got saved by grace. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Live that way. Live that way where you're always on your knees and you're begging God, and God does things and he just comes through time and time again, and all you can do is just praise God for how good he is. The Lord is good. Most people never get to that point because they spend their time trying to get to this place of being self-sufficient. The Apostle Paul, he says over here in the book of First Corinthians, he says this. He says, "Not that we have any sufficiency of ourselves, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." The Apostle Paul, he got this. And Jeremiah is standing here, and he's like, "I can't do this." And God says, "Yes, you can." And he came to this realization that God will enable him. In verses 7 through 10, it says, "Say not, I am a child, but go to all I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord shall put forth his hand and touch my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations,
nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. I tell you what, that's a wonderful thing. Live a life that your sufficiency is of God, and you have to sit back and you look back and you just say, hey, everything that happened back there, that was the Lord's doings, and it was marvelous in our eyes. I have no exclamation over that. That was God. Oh, his hand upon me. He helped me do that. You live your life like that. That's the more. God's more is always best. Miss Priscilla, I have no idea how that's going to work out next week. We got a task ahead of us. But God will enable us. And at the end of the week, we'll look back and we'll say, hey, this was the Lord's doings. It's marvelous in our eyes. And God, live for the more. Live for the more. I tell you, Jeremiah, he submitted. He submitted to God. He just surrendered to God. And it takes the surrendering to the Lord to get the enabling of the Lord. And God says, I'm going to send you here. And he surrendered to wherever God's going to send me. That's where I'm going to go. Have you ever come to a place like that in your life? God, wherever you're going to send me, that's where I'm going to go. And you surrender to God, and you will experience the enabling and the empowerment of God. And it's a wonderful thing. God's more is always best. And then we see here, thirdly, I want you to see that God's more gives protection. In verse number 8, the Bible says this. It says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now, you know, Jeremiah had a tough job. He had to call people out for their wrongdoing. That's not easy to do. People don't like that, okay? People get really mad about that. And Jeremiah, that was his job. That was his job. And God just protected. He says, don't be afraid of their faces. You just do what I've called you to do. And if you look on down here in verse number 19, it says, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Let me tell you something. I learned this a long time ago, that the safest place that you can be in your life is in the center of the will of God. All right? If God calls you to Pakistan, and that's the will of God for your life, that's the safest place for you to be. All right, I'm just that's just the truth. God will put a hedge. Safety is of the Lord. Okay, God will put a hedge about you. Now, I'm not saying we're to be foolish and we're to do things that aren't to tempt the Lord thy God or anything like that. And we need to be wise about things. But God gives protection. God gives protection. It's just a wonderful thing. I can remember one of my heroes was in Uganda. It's Kyle Guyman, and I still got a picture of him and my dad standing in the TV airport together in his home in my office. And but he would talk about at night. We'd get done with our mission over there, and he'd just talk about it. And he was a NASA scientist. He was a nuclear physicist or something. And he went to Uganda to be a missionary and started an orphanage and SOAP, Sorority Orphan Assistance Project. We still support that, by the way, all these years. And the guy that runs it now, I work with him when I go to Uganda. He's a physician assistant, works in orthopedics, and he's a missionary now, and he comes and helps us on our clinics. It's neat how things work out. But Kyle Guyman, he started that, and Dad and I were over there in 2005, and but he said, my family gives me a hard time. You know, and there's you know, all you got, he said, at any time, you know, a Muslim extremist could throw a grenade over the wall and blow us all up. I realize that. He says, but, you know, safe, this is where God wants me to be, and I believe it's the safest place. And it was ironic that he came home on furlough, and he got pneumonia, and he died. He died in the best hospital in Arkansas, pneumonia. And I just thought, wow, that's ironic. And, you know, he goes all these places, these dangerous places, and then comes back home, and that's where he died. Man, what a great man he was. But safety is in the hand of the Lord. And God will bring protection. And so we see that we must be courageous. We must be courageous. Be not afraid of their faces. We need to be surrendered. We need to be sanctified. We need to be set apart. We need to be courageous. Don't be afraid of their faces. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. We need to stop trying to win the opinions of society. Who cares? Who cares what they think? What about what this says? That's what I want to be lined up with. That's what you want to be lined up with. And so God's more brings protection, and God's more brings eternal results. Colossians chapter 3, the Bible teaches us this, to set your affection on things above. Set your affection on things above. And that's what, live for the heavenly, live for the eternal.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. You know, Jim Elliot, he made this statement when before he died. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." There's a lot of truth to that. You know, he had eternal results. Let's look here, and let's look in verse number 8 here. It says, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. Then saith the Lord, put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." When you live your life for God's more, he's going to put his words in your mouth. All right? The word of the Lord endureth forever. It has eternal results. His word will not return void. You live your life according to his word. You let your life be dictated by his word. And that's what God did for Jeremiah. He put into his mouth and made him a prophet. Jeremiah's prophecies, they all came true. He spoke the truth. Judah, Jerusalem did fall. Jeremiah even made some prophecies about things that haven't even come to pass yet, about the millennial reign and things like that. And Jeremiah, his life has eternal results. And I want my life to have eternal results. He said, "Say, many people here are talking about Baal and idol worship, but I'm going to put in your mouth my word." Our society is dominated by greed. It's dominated by materialism. It's dominated by lust. And God wants some men and women in Mountain City Baptist Church to say, "Hey, I'm not going to settle for that. I'm not going to go after that. That's not what's going to motivate me, but I want the more. I want the more. I want my life to be a product of the eternal word of God." There was a man named Eric Little, and he was a runner. And you probably heard a story about Eric Little, and he would not run on Sundays. And God blessed him. He ended up, you know, winning I think Olympic gold. And he went to China and began to preach the gospel in China. And about that time, World War II was starting, and the Japanese Imperial Army was coming through. And he got captured at age 40 and was taken to a Japanese prison camp, and he died there. And many people would think that's a waste of a life. But again, he lived for the eternal. He lived for eternal. And one day, the day that he woke up and he opened his eyes in heaven, he realized it's worth it all. It's worth it all. It's worth it all. And many people that do not, and we believe the lie that Satan sells us. Remember, last week, it starts in your mind. Man, he's going to just bombard you with all these things. Like, this looks good. And we want to look at the tree. We look at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And every one of you are going to see a tree every week of your life. You're going to see a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it's going to be good to look upon. It's going to be good to taste. You're going to think it's going to make you wise. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. If you look at that tree of the knowledge of good and evil apart from God's word, you'll do exactly what he did. But when you look at it through the lens of God's word, you see through it. You see through the lies of Satan. I tell you what, have a good aim today. Keep a high standard. Live for the more. There's more to this life than what's going on with the flow of culture. As one preacher once said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. If you're going to live for the more, you're going to have to, number one, you must be set apart, as it says here in the first chapter of Jeremiah. Secondly, you're going to live for the more. You must be surrendered. Surrendered to it. Have you come to a place of surrender in your life? And to live for the more, you must be courageous. We need some people that will just be strong and very courageous and not fear what man may think or what man may say, but to only fear what the Word of God says and live your life in that way. God's more is always best. The world's more is always less. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes.